Next Step number 694, September 23rd, 2021.
Hi there, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Thanks for tuning into the Next Step with Father Vazgen. We are the voice of Armadoxy, a weekly podcast started in 2008 that looks at life through the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy. We reach out to those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. If you're joining us for the first time, we're so glad you're here. And if you're a regular listener, welcome back. Now, let's get ready to take the next step.
Well, 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 what did you discover this week? Discoveries. There's so many, you know, if you keep your eyes open, you just like see so many things. You say, I never knew that. Or, wow. Yeah, that's the point. You never knew that, meaning that it just was there. It needed to be discovered. But one of the cool things about living at the beginning of a century and at the beginning of especially a millennium where we're at right now, I mean, there's these lining up of dates. You remember, like, what was it, January 23rd, the year 4, right? The date lines up 1, 2, 3, 4. Or like there's Pi Day. It's celebrated every year, March 14th. But in the year 2015, it lined up to 3.1415. It's the closest approximation to Pi that you will get using the number of dates that we have and using our current calendar system. And I know we've lined up the dates, especially in the year 7 when it was the forgiveness date. Remember that one? July 7th. It was 777. Pretty cool. And as a priest, I'm always excited up until actually the early part of the century, the first 10 years at least, definitely. I was really excited when we'd get a lining up of dates because everybody wanted to get married on those dates, right? Like September 9th in the year 2009, right? It was 999. Yeah, people want to do that. In fact, it just last year, we had another lining up of dates. I can't remember what it was, but there was a few people that wanted to get married on that day. It's exciting. I don't blame them. You know, you will never, never, ever forget your anniversary. That's for sure, right? But this week was kind of an interesting lineup of dates because it was the 21st day, September 21st. 21st day of the 21st month of the 21st year of the 21st century. Okay, you probably got all of them except for one. Let me just repeat it, okay? 21st day of the 21st month of the 21st year of the 21st century. Now, all of them kind of figure, except what's that 21st month? I mean, when you just hear it or you read it, you go, wow, that's pretty cool. You know, it happens and everything. Until you kind of apply it and then you go, wait. What's a 21st month? Where do you get that one from? Well, if you go to the 21st century, right, and you go to the 21st year, it just depends. It depends. It's not true. Unless you say that the 21st century began in the year 2000, which we understand it did not. Actually, the new century, the new millennium, began in the year 2001. Why? Because the year 0 to the year 1 is the first year. So if you count like that, 0 to 1 is the first year. 1 to 2 is the second year. 2 to 3 is the third year. And you go and you do the math, and not the math, but you just follow that out. You find out that the year 2000 was the end of the 20th century. And the new century began on January 1st, 2001. But for all intents and purposes, especially because in the technological state of affairs that found ourselves at the turn of the century in the millennium, we had the giant Y2K phenomena and problem. And we've talked about that in the past, and it was an exciting time to be around. But it also got our minds to think about the 21st century starting on January 1st, 2000. And hence, if that's when the 21st century began, then yes, we are in the 21st month of the 21st year. The 21st year being the year 2020. So 2020, do 21 months, and you get to September 2021. So we are in the 21st day, the 21st month of the 21st year of the 21st century. Pretty nice. That was last Tuesday. And so I got excited about that. And, you know, like, I just like it that it lines up like that because it means somebody's put some thought into it. So I Googled it and I played around and then I found a whole combination of these things. For instance, May 21st happened to be the 21st day. Now, this is why I get excited because of the way they said it. Now, you can't say it was the 21st day of the 21st week. Because what is the 21st week? Then you've got to go back like 3 weeks before, right? No, the way they described it, it was the 21st day, May 21st of this past year. May 21st was the 21st day during the 21st week of the 21st year of the 21st century. That's pretty exciting. All this to say, welcome. Welcome. I know it's like September 23rd, but and there is a reason why I'm sharing this with you. Not only because it's exciting and everything, I want to talk about discoveries. I discovered something really, really special this past week. And so I use this 2021, 22. I use this all as a preface to share with you a message for today because, it was really a beautiful discovery, and I want to go through the process with you. And by the way, towards the second half of today's show, we've got some interesting things coming up on a global scale, too. I want to share those things. But this was a little bit more local because it had to do with me, what I do on Sundays, namely offer the Divine Liturgy and a sermon. And so this past Sunday, as is my custom, I opened up the lectionary reading for that Sunday. In other words, that means what are the Bible passages that our forefathers have given us for that particular Sunday? And what's nice about the Armenian Church, I know in the Episcopal Church they have A, B, C cycles. They have different cycles, so every 3 years you come back to the same ones. But you don't need to do that in the Armenian Church because each Sunday has three different readings. It has one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament letters, or the book of Acts, and then, of course, the gospel. Now, there are certain days that don't have these, and we'll talk about that another time. In fact, I've shared that with you. But for all intents and purposes, a priest or a preacher within the Armenian Church has an opportunity to look at three different passages, Old Testament, New Testament, and gospel passage for a particular Sunday and take and pick and choose the one that he wants to build a sermon upon. Now, if he does this right, here's the little secret. This is like the inside story, okay? This is the little secret. If he does it right, you find that all three passages lead to the same message. Why? Because the church fathers gave it to us for a reason. They didn't just like randomly say, okay, let's cut the pages of a Bible and say, okay, this day you're going to do this. This day you're going to read this. No, there's a reason. And as one who prepares myself for these sermons, I start looking at what is the reason? Why have they put these passages together? And it was interesting because this past Sunday was the reading from the book of Mark, the one on divorce. And I thought to myself, wait, I've heard this just recently. And sure enough, I looked back and in end of August, there was the Matthew version of that same passage, Jesus talking about divorce. And, you know, I've had my opportunity for the last 39 years to preach and talk about different passages. And, you know, there's a challenge for me because as a priest, you know, you don't want to say the same things, even if you have a different audience. And that's really one of the things that becomes an opportunity, you know, to be able to share with different audiences. But if you're going to share a standard sermon, I don't know, it means you're not really following the heartbeat of that audience, because each audience has unique situations, unique ways of understanding. And Jesus did this so well. He did it perfectly. When he spoke with the farmers, what did he talk about? The grain of wheat falling into the earth and dying. Now he goes to the city dweller and he doesn't talk about, you know, grains of wheat and falling into the earth. And in the words of Lisa Gronitz, to say shoosting up to the sky. No, he doesn't talk about those kind of things. He talks about matters that pertain to them. Remember when he talked to Matthew and when he talks to the tax collectors about the coins. And he uses these visual images that bring the same truths of God to each of the audiences that he addresses. And I think as a priest, there's a challenge for me to be able to look at that passage and to find a way of presenting that passage, presenting the feeling of what the church fathers wanted us to get across. Now, that being said, yeah, you go through 40 years of this and you're bound to repeat a few things. And so it becomes even more challenging for yourself. The older that you get is really for your own peace of mind. It's just for your own mental stimulation to be able to push yourself beyond the usual limits. I mean, the easiest thing is to have a file of 52 sermons, right? Wouldn't that be cool? Just have a file of 52 sermons. And believe it or not, one of the very, very nice, kind-hearted priest, early in my priesthood, this kind-hearted priest came and told me, he said, keep your sermons, put them in a file. And he said, at the end of the year, you can just reuse them. And I always have that vision, that visual in my head. Yeah, wouldn't that be cool to have 52 sermons, and then every year you just get up and pull it out and say, okay, it happens to be the third Sunday after Easter. Today is the week before Ostfaldsatzin. You know, we have the Feast of the Holy Cross coming up, and so you just pick out the sermon and you do it. Yeah, you can do that. But there's a challenge. And I think this goes beyond just priests. I think anybody in whatever field they're in is to stay alive. You have to challenge yourself. I remember at my ordination, my ordaining bishop, Archbishop Vache, he said, a priest is a restless person. And this has come to haunt me through the years because, yes, I find myself very restless. Even think about this podcast that we're doing, right? You don't need to do a podcast. You could just sit back. You could kick back. You don't need to do anything extra. But the restlessness inside of you, it's what beautifully articulated in poem by Neil Young. You know, he says, it's better to burn out than it is to rust, because rust never sleeps. I mean, think about the visual on that. You have something and it gets rusted. What happens to something rusty? It just kind of like breaks apart. It becomes brittle. It's not bendable. And eventually, you know, the rust takes it over. It never sleeps. But it's better to burn out, meaning that it's better to live. You don't want to rust. you don't want to rust. And of course, mentally, there's a big challenge because you have an opportunity to share the gospel with different audiences, and the manner in which you communicate that gospel will be measured by the effectiveness of your sermon. In other words, are you touching people? Are you getting to people? Is it a snoozer, or are they listening and are they engaged? And again, you look to the master himself, Jesus. He was able to engage different people at different levels. He engaged the fishermen in his message, as well as the intellectual, as well as the doctor, as well as the tax collector, the so-called traitor to his people. He was able to engage everybody at different levels, at locations where they were emotionally, physically, mentally, intellectually. He was able to bring that message home to everyone. And so this becomes a challenge for us as priests. You want to be able to do what the master did. You want to be able to bring this message home. And yeah, there's days where you hit a home run. There's days where you barely walk it to first, you know. But, you know, you still do it. You make a sign of a cross and you give a message that is prepared based on what is given to you through Scripture. Now, this past Sunday happened to be the Paraginton, the Sunday before Varakachach. This coming Sunday is Varakachach. I knew that. It's the anniversary of my ordination, so it's always very special for me, Varakachach. And it's very special because the uniqueness of the cross of Varak is that in among all the feasts dedicated to the Holy Cross, this is the uniquely Armenian one, in that it takes place in the land of Varak, and I had a chance to visit there. We went with a small group back in 2014 when it's able to go, and this is in historic Armenia. So I can't forget this beautiful feast. And so I thought to myself, wait, what else is happening this week? And so you open up the calendar of the Armenian Church, and every day is designated with what kind of day it is. Some days are fasting, and on fasting days you don't have saints. You have other days that are Resurrection Sundays, for instance, but you also have, during the week, feasts of saints. And lo and behold, I look to see what else is going on this week, thinking that I can challenge myself. I could put in there a message that comes to us from the saints. So I opened it up, and who did I see? I saw a trilogy of saints that took place on the 21st day of the 21st month of the 21st year of the 21st century. Yes, on September 21st, it was the feast day. I'll read it to you in Armenian. Serpots Gusanatsan, Pepronia, Mariana, Yevshushana, Duster Medzi Vartana. Sounds a lot of boss, huh? Okay, so there's three saints on that day. Pepron, Marian, and Shushan, who it says is the daughter of Saint Vartan. And it's important to designate because there's all kinds of saints that you have. So in this case, this Shushan happens to be the daughter of Vartan the great warrior. So interesting that these three young ladies are put together on this one feast day. And that was enough for me to say, you know what, there is a message here. And so I started dwelling into it. But let me back up a little bit. Why did it catch me? Not because of Shushan, not because of Marian, but because of the first saint, Pepron. What a cool name, right? Pepron. It's just kind of like, it's fun to say, right? Try it. Pepron. I had an aunt named Pepron. She didn't like the name. In fact, she wouldn't go by that name. But we knew that was her name, and I loved it. I loved that name. And I remember my dad would occasionally call her that, Pepron, too, just to kind of get under her skin. I remember my mom would tell us that that was her name. We knew that Pepperon was her name. It's a beautiful, beautiful name. We lost her this year. So it was just kind of interesting that I was searching and I found Pepperon. We're going to be having a Hokey Honky's Requiem service for her this coming week. And all of a sudden, I find this name, Pepperon, in the calendar of the Armenian Church. Because I got to be honest with you, I didn't know Pepperon was a saint. Number two, I have a daughter-in-law whose Armenian name is Pepperon. I go, oh, that was neat when we first met her. When we met our daughter-in-law, yeah, you have a name Pepperon. I have an aunt named Pepperon. Well, she had a grandmother named Pepperon. Okay, so Pepperon is now a name that is, or has been, used in our circle, in our immediate history, for within three generations. A grandmother, my aunt, and my daughter-in-law. I mean, wow, Pepperon. It's more popular than I thought. I said, I got to learn about this, okay? So, Pepperon. First thing I needed to do was open up Vartsarpots, the lives of the saints. Does such a thing exist? Absolutely it does. And you know what? I'm looking at the time. I was hoping to do this during the first part of the show, but I'm going to put a break in it right now. Let's think about Pepperon, okay? As we take a break for the song of the day, and then we'll come back and I'll share with you who Pepperon is. Here's a little Dotevig. Enjoy. Dotevig doing Gakavig. Did you like it? I loved it. I needed to hear that today. Dots Hevig, of course, the performer, just does some delightful jazz work, scat. I mean, it takes you to different places. This is another one of those albums. This one's called Listen to My Heart. It's one of those albums where every song on it is just inviting, is beautiful. I forgot when she put this out, several years ago. We will have a link on today's show notes to the artist as well as to her music. This is one of those artists you really got to get into because it just kind of transports you. I hope you felt that right now. Gakhavik, of course, traditional Armenian song. She does, of course, her rendition. The original Gakhavik was written by, the music for it was written by Gomidas Vartabed. And actually, Hovhannes Tumanyan wrote the words, the lyrics to it. Arev Patsvets Tuchamberen. Just beautiful. You know what? Let me see. Thank you. We're going to do, we found some lyrics too. And it is off of a mamalisa.com website. I will put a link on that too, so you could check out the lyrics too. But of course, Dots Hevig doing this rendition of Gakhavik, completely different, completely beautiful, and puts us in a mood to move forward. Well, I shared with you the process that I go through in preparing a sermon, one which led me to this saint named Pepron. That's what I want to share with you today. Who is Pepron? What did I find out? And why is she important for us today? How it all came up, and how this 21st day of the 21st month of the 21st year of the 21st century all kind of makes sense. It also happened to be the 30th anniversary of the independent Armenian Republic. Yes, Armenia celebrated its 30th anniversary of independence on that same day, on September 21st. And here am I struggling with Pepron. So let me share with you who Pepron is. So Pepron, like I said, you first go to the Varg Serpots, the life of the saints. And you look around and you find some things. Who finds out that Pepron is from Nisibis. Now, I'll give you the Armenian for Nisibis is Mitzpana. Does that ring any bells? For those of you who are kind of tuned in, especially a lot of people who, it's pretty popular name, believe it or not, among Armenians, and that's the name James Hagop in the Hebrew. In the Greek, it translates to James, and among Armenians, of course, Hagop Mitzpana Hayrabed, St. James of Nisibis. So it turns out that Pepron is from Nisibis, Mitzpana. And this is like if you know where Armenia, you want to put these things together in perspective, you might think of the area of Sepastia. Yeah, Sepastia. You know, Armenians, we go by the suffix tsi, so we say Sepastatsi, like he's from Sepastia. Anyway, it had significance earlier when Armenia was in a larger context. Today, it's, of course, in historic Armenia, this area. But bottom line is she was referred to as Surp Pepron Mitzpana, or Mitzpana Guiseritz. And that's this other word, which you heard earlier when I read from the calendar, Gusanats. Guis means the virgins. That was the other descriptor. She was a virgin. Now, that word virgin, sometimes in the Armenian church, we will change it to adapt to today's nomenclature. In other words, we refer to her as one of the maidens. It is a expression of purity, although today virginity is associated with the sexuality, or let's say non-sexuality, in the use in the church is to designate her as a pure individual, someone who is pure. Yes, someone who had not engaged in sexual activity. Yes, definitely. But it was in reference to her purity, Surpusanas. So she is part of this group of virgins, and that purity was also connected to a monastic tradition. So she was one of the members of a monastic tradition. Now, we'll get into the details, but basically the stories of these virgins at this time, she's a contemporary of Saint Haripsima, of Saint Gayane. She was born in 280 AD. She was martyred in 304, so relatively about a 24-year history that she has. But it comes down to that basic martyrdom scheme of somebody wanting to impose their ways on a person. And then in response to that, she stands firm to her belief to Jesus Christ, a bride of Christ, and she refuses the advances, usually of a male domineering figure. Say, in the case of Haripsima, it was King Durtad. In this case, it happens to be, let's see, Lysimachus. I'll go through the history in a few minutes. He was from Assyria. But stopping the advances, she is then executed, and she's executed for her beliefs. Her beliefs in Jesus Christ. Let me read you a quick story, okay? And by the way, in English, peperon, and this is, one day I got to do this for you because I think it's fascinating when you transliterate properly. And the way you do that properly is you do it by the names. When you do it according to a transliteration schedule, you find that, wow, you know what? Translates perfectly. In English, her name is Febronia. Pepron is Febronia. The Virgin Martyr, Febronia of Nisibis. This is from the Orthodox Church in America. The Virgin Febronia suffered during the reign of Diocletian, 284 to 305. She was raised at a monastery in the city of Sivabolis, Assyria. The head of the women's monastery was the abbess Brienne, the aunt of Saint Febronia. So the head of the monastery was her aunt. Being concerned about her niece's salvation, she assigned her a stricter form of life than the other nuns. According to their monastic rule, on Fridays the sisters put aside their own duties and spent the whole day in prayer and the reading of Holy Scriptures. The abbess usually assigned the reading to Saint Febronia, Sur Pepron. News of her pious life spread throughout the city. The illustrious young widow, Hieria, a pagan, began to visit her, and under the influence of her guidance and prayer, she accepted holy baptism, bringing her parents and kinsfolk to the Christian faith. So, this is important, that because of her, there was a conversion and a conversion from a high-ranking in the status of the world high-ranking people. Diocletian sent a detachment of soldiers to Assyria under the command of Lysimachus, Silenus, and Primus for the destruction of the Christians. Silenus, the uncle of Lysimachus, was noted for his fierce attitude against Christians. But Lysimachus was of a different frame of mind from him, since his mother had sought to inspire love for the Christian faith in her son, and she had died a Christian. Lysimachus had discussed with his kinsman Primus how it would be possible to deliver Christians from the hands of the torturer. So he's called to go and get the Christians, but he has compassion because of his mother's faith and his mother's love for Christians. So now he tries to figure out a way to make it bearable so they could avoid torture. When the detachment of soldiers approached the convent, its inhabitants hid. There remained only the abbess Bahrain, her helper Thomasius, and Saint Febronia, who was seriously ill at the time. It grieved the abbess terribly that her niece might fall into the hands of the torturers who might defile her. she prayed fervently to the Lord, would preserve her and strengthen her in the confession of Christ the Savior. Silenus gave orders to bring him all the nuns of the convent. Primus, with a detachment of soldiers, found no one except the two old women and Febronia. He regretted that they had not hidden, and he suggested to the nuns that they flee. But the nuns decided not to leave the place of their labors, and they entrusted themselves to the will of the Lord. And then you know about the rest of the story. It's pretty basic, basic martyrology, right? Primus told Lysimachus about the particular beauty of Saint Febronia and advised him to take her for himself. Lysimachus said that he would not seduce a virgin dedicated to God, and he asked Primus to hide the other nuns somewhere so that they would not fall into the hand of Silenus. One of the soldiers overheard the conversation, and told Silenus. They led Saint Febronia off to the military commander with her hands bound and chain around her neck. Silenus urged her to deny Christ, promising her honors, rewards, and marriage. The Holy Virgin firmly and fearlessly answered that she had an immortal bridegroom, and she would not exchange him for any mortal man. Silenus subjected her to fierce torture. The saint prayed, "My Savior, do not abandon me in this terrible hour." They beat the martyr for a long time, and blood flowed from her wounds. In order to intensify the suffering of Saint Febronia, they tied her to a tree and set a fire under it. The tortures were so inhumane that the people began to demand an end to the tortures, since there was no confession of guilt by the girl. Silenus continued to mock and jeer at the martyr, but Saint Febronia became silent. Because of the weakness, she was unable to utter a word. In rage, Silenus gave orders to tear out her tongue, smash her teeth, and finally to cut off hands and feet. The people were unable to bear such a horrid spectacle, and they left the scene of the torture, cursing Diocletian and his gods. Now the story continues, and we'll stop right there. I wanted you to hear the torture part. Actually, the cutting off of the limbs, the hands and the legs, are part of the Armenian story in the Vark Serpots, and it keeps coming up in all the versions, all different stories that I've read about her. Pepron, I wanted to read to you the suffering, because a lot of times we talk about martyrdom, we talk about suffering, but to what extent? It really is not only about the endurance, but it's also to show the inhumanity of people, the inhumane manner in which people deal with one another, and the imposition of their will upon others, and when there isn't obedience, the extent to which they will go to punish people. And we saw this played out at Calvary, right? We saw this with Jesus Christ, the manner in which they executed him. It was torturous, and same thing with all of these martyrs, including Pepron. So we read the story, and we follow through, and I'll have her entire story on the show notes. You can read it. But I wanted you to hear this, because here's one of the big mistakes that we make. We read a story like this, and we talk about Pepron, we talk about this saint, and then we say in 305 she was martyred. And as if there's no connection to us today. And that's very easy to do, right? Yes, it's something that happened, 1700 years ago. And what's the connection to us? Well, there's a lot. Yeah, we can do the physical connection. In other words, what we go through, especially today, you're getting a good glimpse of that when you look at what's happening in Afghanistan and the imposition of one person's will upon the other and the extent to which they will go to punish people. You can see that. You can see that. But in this case, this is an important distinction that they are offered freedom. They are offered a chance to live. They are offered a comfortable life, but they choose otherwise. And it's an important distinction because it's, to me, this is the connection that we have to today. As Christians, we are sometimes called to an uncomfortable life. And I'm not talking about, you know, whether you pray and people mock you, whether people laugh at you or, you know, they joke about you and everything. Yeah, that is uncomfortable. But I'm talking about the real uncomfort. The uncomfort of looking at a world and wondering, where is the compassion? Why aren't we seeing the compassion? Why aren't we seeing God come to the forefront and deal with situations that are so prevalent in the world? I have a friend, or had a friend, I know, I guess I have him still, you know, he makes this case. It's very fascinating to me to listen to him, because he's definitely not a churchgoer, definitely has no strong commitment to the Christian faith, apart from knowing that he was baptized in the church, and therefore, ipso facto, he is a Christian, and he will go about his life and talking about everything. But whenever it comes to the problems that are going on in the world, he literally does this. And it's the strangest thing. He will talk in English with me. But when he gets to this point, he converts it to Armenian. And he just looks up, looking up, I guess, into the clouds. And he goes, Der Astvats, oh God, why don't you help the people? Where are you today? And I sometimes think about this, like, is he for real? Like, he's never really demonstrated any other belief system in something beyond himself or divine. But for some reason, at this moment, it's like looking up and, where are you, God? What's going on? Why aren't you here? Why aren't you destroying these things that are hurting so many people? And for Christians, there is a problem in that, isn't there? There is a problem of standing and looking at a world that is dysfunctional, and knowing that your Creator has created something that at this point has become dysfunctional. But as a Christian, we're called to really look at it, and this is what Fibronia teaches us. It's to know that, to have that utter confidence that there is some good in it, that there is. And if you look at Fibronia's story, and the brief story that I read, and I invite you to read the rest of it, it's not about, hey, look, I could withstand this torture. It's about being faithful to what you believe. And her belief was a belief in Jesus Christ, that once she committed her life to that, that Christ would take her. Christ would be with her. Christ would not falter on her. Now here's the tough part, okay? Who said that Christ left her? We do. In looking at it from a distance, you could look at it and you could say, oh, wow, she didn't make it, right? We would look at her and say, how tragic. Her feet were cut off. Her hands were cut off. How tragic was this? You know, I wish God had come down. Or in the words of my friend, where are you, God? I wish you would have come down. And just as the swords were cutting off her hands, maybe dullen those swords and make them fling over and cut off the heads of the enemies. Like the psalmist says, right? I mean, we read these psalms, right? It's all about, yeah, smite those and everything. But this is not what the Christian says, right? Let's talk about that. What does the Christian say? It's looking at that time and realizing that Christ never fails you. Christ is with you. We are the ones who look at these people and say, oh, that's horrible. But for her standing there, she sat there and she knew that Christ was with her. Now, think about what I teach here with Armadoxy about the importance of your inner strength and your inner belief. She had that belief that Christ was with her, and you cannot argue against that. You cannot argue against that. You can't say Christ was not with her. And here's the bottom line. At the end of the day, she dies a martyr's death. She is with her Lord. And she's there forever. She wins at the end. That's why we crown her as a saint. Because she didn't walk away this as a loser, but as a winner. And here's the point. I'm sorry if I'm not doing a good job of explaining this, but it's a very fine point and it's an important point because it connects it with us today living in the 21st century, on the 21st day of the 21st month of the 21st year of the 21st century. It makes that connection with us. It's the point that at the end of the day, at the end of life, at the end of everything, it's between us and God. It never was between these men and her God. It was never between her and these other people's gods, Diocletianus' gods. It was never about pleasing other people. It was about being faithful to what she believed. And in the end, she gets crowned as a saint by us who look at her. And we are inspired. What's the inspiration in this? Let me ask it this way. Maybe this will bring it home more. What's the inspiration of seeing a young 20-year-old girl getting beaten up this way by some horrible, horrible people? Where's your inspiration in that? Think about it for a moment. It's not inspiring at all, is it? In fact, just the opposite. It's kind of disgusting. But when you look at that entire story, as it's presented, as an expression of ultimate love, ultimate sacrifice, ultimate giving, ultimate faith, you now make the connection that what is required of me? I live my life according to what I know is the truth. I have received that from the church. The same place where Febronia received it. The same place where Hrypsima and Gaian had received it. The same place where your grandparents received it. Same place where you and I receive it. We've got this faith in a God that never lets us down. So at the end of the day, it's not about us and anybody else in the world. Are you faithful to that message that is being preached? Are you faithful to what you believe, to that which you are baptized in? At the end of the day, this is the answer that needs to come from our mouth. That's what Pepron pushes us to do. That's where Pepron directs us. And the other saints that are included in that day, including Shushan, the daughter of Saint Vartan, including Marian. I mean, these saints all have the similar story. And it's not about being tortured. It's not about dying. The similarity in it is being faithful to what is entrusted to you by God. And you say, well, yeah, that's nice. These things happen. This is horrible. But today, this is not what happens in real life. Thank God we don't have this. And that's right. That's true. We don't have people killing us for our faith. Or do we? Or do we? That's the question you need to answer. Every time you deny your faith. Well, no, I would never deny my faith, right? I would never. You say, no, what are you talking about? I would never deny my. Yeah, but we do deny the faith. We deny it when we start making excuses for the gospel message of feeding the hungry, of tending to the poor. And we make excuses all the time. Well, our church has needs too. We have to take care of our own people. We have to do this and that. Instead of looking at the world and saying that this is not what Jesus commanded me. He commanded me to do unto others as I would want them to do to me. And can I live by that golden rule? So each of these saints, whether it's Pepperon or any one of the saints, it's an invitation for us to look at a life led in faith, lived in faith, and see in there an inspiration, an opportunity for us to reenact, for us to follow here in the 21st century. This is why I tell you, Armodoxy. It's Armenian Orthodoxy without the hoopla. Cut away the hoopla, and you're down to this basic faith. It's this faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he will never, ever leave us alone. And it's not for other people to judge whether he leaves us alone, doesn't leave us alone. They look up to God, they look up to heaven, or wherever they do, that's their business. It's up to us to realize that God never leaves us alone. Martyrdom. It's today's lesson for the next step. Let's take a break right now. Here's Susie with her announcement. I'll be back in a few moments to wrap it all up, okay?
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vazgen, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. The next step is entering homes and communities with a solid message proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. We look forward to your comments and words of encouragement. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes and Blueberry, as well as Facebook and Twitter. We are excited about this ministry and invite you to share in our enthusiasm. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement. And thank you for being with us. You know, I didn't really think that today's session would be all about Pepperon. I wish you could see my show notes for today, the ones that I've scribbled out and as an outline for where the show was going. But we ended up talking just about Pepperon. I wanted to talk a little bit about Afghanistan, what's going on. But we will save it for next week. We have some other things on the slate, too. We're going to talk about racial justice and what it really means on the practical level. But I thought today was kind of just like flowed. I was really happy with the way Pepperon evolved. We started off with a search for a sermon topic, ended up being introduced to a saint from the 4th century named Pepperon, and tying it in with our lives today. I feel charged because I think a lot of times, like many other people, we sometimes question our faith based on what others are saying about it instead of really thinking, like, does it really matter what they think? I know God is with me. And it's that unconditional belief, that knowing that God is with you without questioning it. That's what Pepperon and the saints teach us. Anyway, I'm going to invite you to look through the show notes today. I'll put links to different things, to different stories about Pepperon. Let's see, this week it is the celebration of Varaka Chach. We have some videos about that. Check out the show notes. We'll talk a little bit more about that because it is really an important, important feast of the cross. You know, the cross has four feasts in the Christian, Armenian Christian Church, one of which is, of course, Exaltation. One is the Discovery of the Cross, which takes place next month. One is the Appearance of the Cross, takes place in April, in the spring. But this one, Varaka Chach, is uniquely Armenian. In other words, those other three are celebrated by the Universal Christian Church. We celebrate this one because of the activities that took place at Varak. I wear a very special little memory of Varak on my wrist every single day. And it is some soil that I took from the monastery there when I had a chance to visit, blessed to visit it. And it's been encapsulated on a little charm that I wear on my wrist. And there's a whole story to that, and one day we'll talk about that as well. But I'm going to put some links on today's show notes, and I invite you to just check out all of that. Like Susie said, this is all supported through your kindness, your prayers, your donations, your support. So please remember us in your prayers. Remember the ministry that we have. If you've been blessed by it, share it with other people. Share it with people and tell them that, hey, this is a ministry we started back in 2008. We'd love to have new people on board. Make sure you mark wherever you catch your podcasts, whether it's on Apple's, it's on iTunes, or whatever format you use. I think, what's that one? Sirius XM. I saw it the other day on Sirius XM. I was really excited, yeah, to see the next. Wherever you get it, they have systems of marking and appreciation. Please give us your opinion. Please mark it. And if you give it a 5-star, that helps us a lot too. All right, that does it for today's show. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed preparing it for you. You could catch us at all the usual socials and, of course, at the mothership in issues.org. On behalf of Susie, our producer, and myself, Father Voskan, we look forward to seeing you again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off, but I'm top limits.